Android and iPhone users, welcome. BlackBerry and Windows Phone users, these phones don't even support podcasting, bro. The podcast going beyond the headlines. This is the Gooply Cast. Here's your host, Matthew Carter.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Gooply Cast. We're live right now on Twitter, Twitch, Facebook, and YouTube. If you can't make our live show, grab our audio-only version. You can find that on all of your favorite Android and iOS podcasting apps, as well as Facebook podcasts. Tonight, with us on the blue team, we have Matt Evans. Hey, Matt.
Greetings. How's it going?
Going good. Also on the blue team, we have Roy Schlepinski. Hey, Roy.
Good evening.
Good evening to you. And last but not least, newcomer to the blue team, Tim Van Claveren.
We're not giving him blue status yet until he's past his 90 days and he has an Apple Watch.
And so I have to beat Matt at beer pong on iMessage.
Okay.
This if doesn't sound me- like a hazing at all. At all.
And standing there in the top left corner is Matt Carter, who's on the blue on the green team, the only one left here.
How does it feel?
How does it feel to be the only green bubble here?
It's weird. Like watching Tim get consumed by like your and Roy's iPhone excite, like it was really only a matter of time. I'm sure if anyone goes back and watches all the episodes, they're like, oh yeah, Tim's gonna switch. Listen, he loves the AirPods. Listen to him. You can't get enough of them. And then what, did you try the Apple Watch? Did you get to try the Apple Watch, or did it just not
work?
Nope.
It did not work.
It couldn't work. Yeah. I'm gonna try messing around with it and see what I can do with it. But
plus, like, Zoe's on iPhone and she's enjoying the Apple Watch. Like, it makes sense that the two of you being on the same ecosystem and having fun supporting each other sounds awesome. So it's
so cool. You heard that, Roy, right? We just all need to go in and get Matt a pair of AirPods, because that seems to be the way in. You get AirPods, and then because Joe got AirPods and he was sold on the Apple ecosystem, so maybe
he already had an iPhone though.
Yeah, well, Matt has an iPhone. We just need to get him AirPods, and then he can try out AirPods, and then he'll be like, "Yeah,
maybe." You never know. I'm using an Apple product right now that I'm really enjoying. But
what Apple product is that? That's the iPad, right?
It's iPad.
Yeah, it's my iPad.
See, he has an iPad. He can use the AirPods with that.
Yeah.
Which is that, the new one? Is that a different one, or is that the old? Which one did you get?
That's the Pro.
Ooh.
It is upgraded. Probably the best. It's the best mobile device I've ever used. I will say that.
Wow.
So what you're saying is iPhone might also be one of the best mobile devices you've ever used.
It quite could be. If you saw what kind of mobile devices I carried around, it's not a very high bar to beat.
So maybe an iPhone SE is his.
All so we need to what do... We should, what we need is to repair do is the 10R that I have, give him the 10R. $200 we have Matt on an iPhone.
Well, or we just try and fix it ourselves and do a video out of it and see how fucked up we screwed up.
The problem with repairing it, though, you got to remember that because of Face ID, if the screen is not registered to the device, Face ID won't work. So you have to have the machine that registers the screen to the device, and that's like,
well, maybe we just all need to go in. Maybe we just all need to go in and get the XR plate, and then the 10R, and then get him a pair of AirPods, and then he'll be sold on the.
I mean, hey, I'm gonna be honest. Watching that track record, it's like what 100%.
I think we should try it. I think we should try it and do a video and see how he does. I think that this is. And what we need to do is we need to confiscate all his Android phones so that he has no other mobile devices in reach. Because we know he carries around like multiple devices.
We'd have to do an Android tablet. We have to do a full search of his entire apartment.
We need to go in and search his entire apartment and get dog sniffings in there.
We got
dog sniffings
in there. And Yeah.
Not my other Android tablet. No.
Yeah.
My
yeah.
backup See, tablet?
We to,
no.
We need to get no. We need to get rid of everything and do this video. That would be a great video to do. We'll talk
my
about
My Kindle
it
is fine though, right? That's okay?
No, because that no. runs Android.
That runs Android. Nope. So you get the iPad and you get the iPhone.
How likely would AirPods. You use it as a main device if you received a 10R?
There's two ways that I see myself doing whatever it is you guys are asking, and like hard converting to all Apple or whatever. I would 100% use a 10R as my main device if I got one. I would definitely do that. That would be awesome if we could work that out. Also, what Apple talked about today, if I ever just had one of those, I wouldn't necessarily be an Apple fan for life, but I'd just start buying Apple stuff like I was blind. I'd just be like, what is
I
that?
I mean, if you had the money for what Apple announced today,
all right, well, let's Apple let's, stuff for life. Let's kick it off with the I'm still at 13%, by the way, I think, or 13 minutes. So I think I'm fucked. Anyway, so let's go into what Apple announced today. So they announced new iPhone colors for two the colors? 12. No, one new color.
One new color.
One new color for two different phones.
Fair.
Yeah. Got Master so, Chief.
Yeah. And tree.
That is so true. It's olive green and alpine green, right? Is
alpine green? Yeah, and the old one was midnight green, and I showed it to my wife, and she goes, "It looks like the same iPhone that was green before."
No,
and I
wasn't go, the other one darker?
No, it might have been slightly, but not very much. Like it's no, very I'll close to.
I'm pretty sure that it was much darker.
It looked very close to
alpine.
What?
We're not talking about the iPhone 11 green, right?
No, I think it was the 11 green. Yeah.
The 11
it
green
was the
is
11
like
Pro.
C phone. Oh, the 11 Pro. 12 okay.
Pro, yeah. Green. Oh,
iPhone
it was 11
Pro green. That's like, yeah, that's like midnight green. That's a sexy color.
Yeah, it was a darker green, right?
Yeah, yeah. The new ones have like more of a vibrancy,
but
to
if
them
you had
green.
It,
this
if you
nice.
Had it though, if you had it though, like it yeah. looked, I think it looked more yeah. closer to
the
it.
The newer but... one looks more washed out of a green than the 11 Pro did.
Yeah,
I would rather, if I was going to pick between the two, I'd rather have the 11 Pro's version of green than the 13 Pro's version.
Exactly.
Of green.
I hands down agree with that. The 11 Pro is like. It's worse than that purple that they made.
Don't even get me started. I actually, honestly, it was out of any color they could throw in. Purple, I just didn't like the shade of purple. It was a lavender yeah. purple.
Yeah, it was a really bad purple. I think that was last year's. I think that was the 12 model that they introduced.
It
at
was
the spring 12, event.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, anyways, two new colors for the 12. Or excuse me, for the regular 13 mini, and then the 13 Pro has the alpine green, which I think is a nice color. But again, my wife had the green before, and she said it got burnt out really quick, so she went back to the gold this time. Mm. You know, just because the gold looks—I mean, the gold looks amazing, especially on the sides of it. The gold is all things. So if you have the clear case, you really do see the gold. You know. Which is what I'm trying to convince her to do is to use the clear case, but she doesn't like the MagSafe, you know, logo on the back. So I'm like, but that's how you keep the wallet on that you want to try out. Like, so what are you guys laughing at?
I was like this close. I was this close. Like it was in the cup and it bounced out.
Oh my god! You guys stop playing beer pong. We're in the
I
middle of the show
one
right
cup.
Now.
It's one cup left. Oh it's god. 1v1.
You started
see
this
how
match.
Much, see what, bounced see what out fun of the you guys are missing out on. See, and here's the other thing: if you were to switch, you would get we'd all be on blue bubbles, and we could just chat in there, and we wouldn't have to. We'd have all the features of iMessage right there. Anyways, All right, so the two new colors, and then they announced the iPhone
SE with the A15 Bionic.
Yes, and 5G.
They basically threw like all the bells and whistles at the iPhone SE. I don't know, pretty amazing phone. Like for $429, you get the processor that's in the current iPhones, plus like the Retina display screen, the 12 megapixel camera. Is everybody gone? Or did you take them out?
I kicked them out. I kicked them out because they're,
oh my God.
They're still playing. I can see them in the background. They're still playing the
beer pong. I think Matt was just jealous because he can't play right now.
For the record.
No, it's not that.
Tim won. Oh, I won.
It's really easy to win against Roy at beer pong. He usually fumbles at the end. He does good at the beginning and then he messes up. So
I have 12 wins right now against you, Matt.
Whatever.
Whoa.
Talk about pool. Talk about pool. You are horrible at pool.
But I'm good at archery. I think I've beaten you almost every time at archery, if not every time.
Okay, back to the iPhone SE, everybody. We're getting way off topic here. So the iPhone SE comes with the A15 Bionic chip, and then it has 5G. Still uses the same body. Looks like it still has the same type of camera as the older model.
The camera got some upgrades, though.
It did get some slight upgrades, but it's nothing like the Pro version or the original 12.
I mean, the Pro is all about the camera.
Like, it's the minimum camera that they add to things to make it like the Apple camera. Because now doesn't it have center stage now?
Everything is center stage. I think about center stage on the SE.
Did they?
I'll double check.
I'm looking here.
But I mean, it's getting low light. It's getting it's getting deep fusion. But I mean, let's face it. If you're buying the iPhone SE, you don't care about the camera. The camera is not what you're buying a phone for. I mean, obviously you're getting a decent camera, but the camera is not your.
It does not have center stage. Selling point.
Oh, okay.
It does have smart HDR4, and it does have the photographic styles that they introduced into the iPhone 13, or was it iOS or just iPhone 13 series, where you can set up like how vibrant you want your colors to be in your photos, like as a profile, like preset profiles. So,
yeah.
it has vibrant or more warm or cooler.
It does have 4K video recording at 24, 25, 30, or 60 frames per second.
Damn. So, like, for that price and compared to other things that you can get at that price range, it's pretty compelling, right?
You got portrait mode too. Yeah. You know, I feel like the 64 gig, I mean, it's an okay thing, but 64 is still quite limited. I think they should have gone with the 128 at the starting, because it's only $479 for the 128. But I still think that 64 gigs is just way too small for an iPhone. You know, even if it's an SE, it's an entry level iPhone, because you know that will fill up, especially like since it has 4K video recording. Like, you can't do much 4K video recording with 64 gigs. I think they should have started it out at 128 and kept it at the 429.
I'm sure they know that it's going to squeeze people who use it as their, like, main phone, who aren't, like, maybe, I don't know, middle schoolers or, like, high schoolers, or maybe, like, parents who are just going to take pictures and not so many videos. I think if you're buying an SE and you're like not a power user, but maybe intermediate, and it's more of your daily driver phone, I could see wherever you're buying this, if you're buying it from like an actual person at like a carrier store or something, like I could see them asking you to upgrade this. Like, hey, if you start shooting videos, you start downloading apps, Instagram, updating photos and themes and styles, you might want the 128.
It could definitely be
for some people, you know, that don't use their phone much, take a few pictures here or there. I mean, it might be that. I also wish they would have kind of gone with a full screen instead of the button. I think it's time to get rid of the button. Like, I think they could have gone with that and, you know, had a better SE entry level model. I just think it's, you know, even with Android phones, you don't have buttons on there anymore, you know? So I think the iPhone SE is still aging quite badly because of that. I want to say, I think that they should have dumped the home button, you know, not necessarily put face unlock on there. They could have done it like they did
home
on the,
or the power home button.
Yeah. The power button, you know, and stuff like that to put it on there. But I think they got to get rid of it at some time. They've got to rip the Band-Aid off, you know.
Like, I got a question too. Do a lot of people use the iPhone 8 still? Because it seems like they targeted that phone very heavily in that presentation.
They do. And my brother still uses, I think he has an SE. He has the original, I think he has the original SE, which is based off of the 4 model, you know, or whatever. But no, he likes the smaller phone screen. He hates having big screens. So, I mean, that's at least what he had the last time I had talked to him. I don't know if he's ever upgraded or not, but
I know.
I don't disagree that the home button is long past due for not being there for the SE, the fact that the SE still exists. But my one caveat that I would throw out there, point that I would throw out there as to why they still have that home button is if you take the home button away and you make it a more of a bezel-less phone, what do you have? You have the iPhone 13.
I mean, in some ways, but you don't have the face unlock. You don't have the, you know,
I don't see Apple. I'm just saying if Apple gets rid of the home button, I don't see them not putting the notch in there. I don't at this point in time. I don't think they're going to make a full screen phone for the first time on anything other than the next iPhone where they're going to, you know, potentially take the notch away and have it be the pill shaped cutout. Like, I don't think their first full screen phone where you don't have to worry about the notch would be on their cheap model. I think that they would end up having.
You could still put a notch in there. You could still put a notch in there and have
Then the notch is useless at that point if it doesn't have all the sensors in it. You just have this notch there just to have a notch.
Well, you just make a smaller notch, you know. But I don't know. I think keeping
an LCD screen, making it a notch, keeping the one camera on the back. I mean, that would be what they would have to do in order to make it differentiated from the iPhone Mini.
Yeah. Well, and it's a smaller phone too. Like, you know, if you look at the mini is 5.4 inches. The SE is 4.7 inches. You know, you also don't, you have an LCD screen.
But that's screen size. I mean, obviously the body size compared to the iPhone Mini is probably more on par.
I still think that you could have an LCD screen in there, an all screen, have, you know, a lot less things. I understand your thing about the notch, you know, and stuff like that. But I just think that, you know, I don't know. I think that they need to get rid of the home button. You know,
I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just throwing like devil's advocate sort of things out there.
If they got rid of it,
what would we do to differentiate it from the mini? What would we make?
I don't know that you need to do that because if you look at it, the lower end is going to be the entry level model. You know, it's not going to have all the bells and whistles, which it doesn't. You know, it has a single wide angle camera on the back rather than the dual advanced, which is wide and ultra wide on the 12 or the 13, you know, but it's just, you know, I don't know.
Well, it's got the same body makeup that they had for the 6, 7, and 8. And I remember the 6 being one of the best-selling iPhones that Apple had ever made. And that might be why they're sticking around. Maybe there's still some love out for that body style. Could be. I mean, they have the numbers. I'm sure that they know what they're doing. They poured through what the best decision would be. I don't disagree. I think that the home button at this point, you know, it went away, what, like four or five years ago when the 10 came out, and here we are.
It also doesn't have the ultra wide, I don't think, because it says it has 5G, but it doesn't have the super fast on there. If you compare that,
there is no millimeter wave cut out on the sides of it.
Yeah. So it doesn't, it has just regular 5G cellular on it too.
But I mean, let's face it, putting the millimeter technology in there is going to make it a lot more expensive. Yeah. And the millimeter wave technology is so widely underused that it'd be stupid to put it in a low end iPhone to begin with. Like, you know, if they're trying to make it as cheap as possible, cause they're trying to serve a certain demographic, to put in a antenna that is going to not even be used.
So I have a question. So Tim, if they had made this full screen similar to the iPhone 12 mini, would you have returned your iPhone 12 mini to get this if they had made it full screen and put Touch ID on there, and if it had all the bells and whistles like the, you know, the A15 Bionic?
So there's a few things that I definitely get this and was like, is this something worth even me doing the effort of returning my iPhone to get this instead? Because this is cheaper than what I paid for the 12 mini. But there's a few things that the 12 mini still lacks, or sorry, that this phone lacks the 12 mini, including a ultra wide camera. What else? I'm scrolling through right now. I mean, if it had an ultra wide camera and the full screen bezel with Face ID, then I would definitely consider it as a good option. I'm not too sure what the 12 mini, what kind of chip does it have? The 12
yeah, it has A14.
A14. Okay. Yeah. I mean, is the chip, the speed, is it really that much faster?
You don't get more. I don't think you get more. It's got a four core GPU on it.
Okay.
I think that's about the only difference in it. So
yeah, that's what I thought. But if, as it stands right now, no. But if it was just a screen that was bigger, still probably no. One thing that I recognize this being popular with is businesses. A lot of companies have cell plans to where different individuals within the company may need a company issued cell phone, like myself included. And working in an IT department, I see how many of these iPhones we actually order. We order a lot of the SEs, and I think we have a few of the minis that we've had delivered. But these are easy because they're just like someone puts in a request for a phone. You go to AT&T, you create a line, and then they send us an iPhone SE, and that's it. That's the whole process. So I definitely think that this phone's going to be mostly popular with businesses. And then also a lot of businesses, as much as we know Face ID is as secure as Touch ID, there's a lot of businesses that are still going to believe nothing is more secure than Touch ID. When it comes to unlocking a phone, even though we know Face ID is very secure. So I feel like, in my opinion, a lot of businesses are going to prefer having an actual fingerprint scanner versus scanning a face. That's just what I think is going on, which is why these phones are so popular. But yeah.
Okay, and it sounds like Apple.
Well, I think that's a good place to leave it. Go ahead, Matt. You can wrap it up.
Exactly. I was going to say it sounds like Apple has maybe this is the last year or the last couple years of this particular body and style of the SE, because they got rid of the Mini. It didn't quite hit the target that they were looking for, and it kind of has the best of all of the worlds for a small, newer aesthetic iPhone.
They still have the Mini.
They
haven't said that yet officially. That's what's rumored to be, but they haven't really officially said it.
But it was rumored that there wasn't going to be a 13 mini either.
Yeah. So We'll see. We'll see kind of where they land on that. So, all right. How about that iPad Air?
It was an iPad Air.
I am upset that it still is only a liquid retina screen. I'm just, it's 2022, guys. It's 2022. It should be OLED, not LCD. I mean, out of everything they announced about the iPad Air, that is my only complaint. If I were to go out and buy an iPad tomorrow, I would probably buy an iPad Air. I probably would not spring for the Pro. I mean, you're going to get the
I had the Pro, and I downgraded to the iPad Air, and I have no regrets whatsoever. Like, I don't do as much on there. I watch TV shows at night on there and stuff like that. Do a little thing with the pencil, reply to messages, stuff like that. I don't get the use out of the screen that most people would. So I'm perfectly fine with an LED display. I don't really care.
LCD.
LCD. No, LED.
No, it's a liquid retina. It's LCD.
No, it says LED backlit multi-touch display.
It's a liquid retina. Pro?
Retina display, but it says LED backlit.
Liquid multi-touch. LED. So it's a liquid retina, which is a LCD screen.
But it says it has LED backlit multi-touch with IPS technology. So I'm wondering if they upgraded the liquid retina naming of it. Because that's just Apple's naming.
Figure it out.
That's just Apple's naming of it. But if you do look at the specs on the Apple website for the iPad Air, it does say LED backlit multi-touch display with IPS. So Mr. Carter, since you have an iPad Pro, what did you think? What do you think of this model?
I don't know. I just like this design of iPhones and iPads. I think it's really ergonomically like satisfying. I like the materials, the Air in particular. I'm surprised that they didn't do anything with the screen, and even the Pro, like, it's not OLED if I'm not mistaken. And I feel like at this point, Apple should be pushing that technology to get their screens looking like as jaw-droppingly crystal clear as possible. They announced that you could get 5G on the iPad Air, which I don't know, for a tablet like that, having 5G as a bullet point, I don't see why you wouldn't in this day and age.
I don't have the cellular version, and there's a reason why, is because I have the max plan from the T-Mobile plan. So I definitely don't need it. Joe said, Tim, there's something standing behind you.
It is is Aquaman. He has a lot of thoughts about the of the iPads. Some thoughts as well.
I don't use it because I don't really want to have another data plan, you know, on my account. So and since I have the max plan, I have, you know, I think it's like 40 gigs of hotspot data, which I can use off of my iPhone. So and then I have another line that has 40 gigs of that too. So I have like 80 gigs of high speed hotspot data before I get slowed down. So definitely something that I don't think you need this day and age, unless, you know, you do a lot with it, on my personal opinion on it.
I think in all with the iPad Air, I'm impressed with how many things that they can put the M1 in. And I think the price point for the iPad Air with that kind of power for $600 almost doesn't matter what else they do to it. I mean, they had the Magic Keyboard support. I think the Magic Keyboard is amazing technology. And I think this,
yep, I have the Magic Keyboard right back here actually for it. Yeah. So yeah, it's good. I'm glad they kept the design there's no notch on it, you know. I don't think this day and age you need Face ID on this. I think the Touch ID works really well on here. I wouldn't have been too terribly mad if they added a notch to it. But again, I think this is what they could have done with the iPhone SE, is made the screen bigger, put a little camera sensor at the top, you know, and made the screen more bigger, got rid of the home button. And there you have a bigger screen with a nicer phone, you know, and stuff like that. So I honestly think that this is a good choice if you're looking to get into the iPad lineup, because it definitely has everything. I have not regretted downgrading from the iPad Pro. I've had the Pro for a long time and I was like, I just don't need it, but I'd rather have more storage space. So I got rid of that and I got more storage space so that I could download more content, you know, because back before the pandemic, we used to fly a lot, you know, and having, you know, the ability to fly, you know, and just have content downloaded, you know, is nice. So I do like the blue, I will say. I like the shades of color they have. I just have the regular space gray one, just because I think I got a cheaper model for that, or price for that, getting that version. So it wasn't really, if I could have gotten it for the same price, I probably would have gotten the older blue. But yeah, it's, I think it's still great, great product. So,
yeah, I, have to say, I have to agree with Matt Carter on the design. I really hope Apple sticks to their current design for all their products with the flat edges. I think that's an excellent design decision. And looking at all the iPad models, I really like those, that design going across them besides the, regular iPad. With the iPad Air, I think it's a excellent device, especially this, like, they're obviously targeting students and people who want, like, who are working in creative positions. Something that I noticed very much about this device is they're really targeting productivity and pushing for iMovie is Final Cut's not available on iPad, right?
It's just iMovie.
Okay. So it's pretty much all just shots of people using word processing or creating in Photoshop or iMovie. Something I noticed looking at the thing, just personally, because I don't really need anything, like I don't leave the house a lot, so I don't need to do any of this on.
He's gone. What are we...
I don't need to really do any of this on the go. So there's no, personally to me, there is no reason for me to get, I'd say, an iPad Air to be able to work on this. But I was comparing the price, because this is starting at $600. For that price, you could also get a M1 Mac Mini, and that would also do pretty much everything creative, I would say, better, right? Like,
it, yeah, would be, and I think faster. I think this is more for a productivity thing that you can take with you and stuff like that. So yeah. the way we use our iPads in the house, like, we'll sit in bed a lot of times. My wife has the older iPad, the original iPad from from 3 or 4 years ago. Still works great. She loves it, you know. The battery's not the greatest anymore in it, but, you know, like you said, Tim, battery degrades over time. But like, we just play games on it, you know, and stuff like that. This, I think they are obviously trying to target with Center Stage, probably more of creative people, you know, doing dancing videos and stuff like that too, for TikTok maybe, or Instagram Reels. Even though Instagram doesn't have a, an iPad app. They are definitely targeting more creative people, you know, doing those type of things, because shortwave video is taking off, you know. You know, if you look at TikTok, you look at Reels, you know, and stuff like that. YouTube is getting into the shortwave video called YouTube Shorts, you know. So I definitely think that, you know, this is the way to go. The other way two that I use my iPad for as well is listening to like Twitter Spaces and stuff like that on there, and stuff like that. So just listening to audio things. I've got my AirPods in, you know, and stuff like that, and I tune into Twitter Spaces, which there's a few developers that I follow that do Twitter Spaces, you know. Not necessarily developer-related content, but, you know, a place where, you know, developers kind of hang out, you know. Some of them are pretty open about letting everybody chime in and stuff like that. So as long as you keep it clean and everything. So I've really found a good use for that. And then, like I said, I watch movies at night, TV shows, use it kind of as a white noise machine to fall asleep with. So, and it works out really well for me. So, what do you use your iPad for, Mr. Carter? Cause you said you were really impressed with your iPad Air. The Pro.
Yeah. So right now I'm basically just using it for gaming, some media consumption, and I tried shooting a video on it. I'm going to try and get more into that because the video quality did not seem that good. It seemed like I would rather have a cell phone because I'm not quite sure what quality the video
can. I don't shoot video on my iPad very much, but I don't, I don't think it's made for it. You're right.
Yeah.
This, I would be kind of interested to see what the video quality is on it, because obviously I feel like they're targeting that. But again, I don't think I've really shot video on my iPad Air, but I did try and shoot it a few times on my Pro, and I didn't really care for the quality of it. I felt like my iPhone did better.
And I'm sure Apple knows that. They want the best camera that you have to be the device that you carry with you all the time. And like Tim said, like, if you're looking to get into the Apple ecosystem in some way or have some kind of Apple product, something with the M1 is going to be fantastic. The Mac Mini, you know, destroyed YouTube for a while because it was such great performance for such a great price.
And I have a Mac Mini. I'm on right now. Yeah,
exactly. So. And like, you're not going to get that performance in the iPad Pro or the iPad Air just because the profile of the device is smaller. If you get it something like a Mac Mini, you have access to iPad apps and Mac apps, but you'll have an incredibly powerful device that's portable, which is great for students, productivity, all that good stuff.
Yeah. I the other thing too, I'm just going to say about the price is I'm glad they kept it at $599. You know, prices for everything is going up. Inflation is really high. Apple seemed to keep the price points way down on this, and I hope they continue to do that for the upcoming iPhones as well this year too, because obviously, you know, everything is going up in price, you know, and that was another concern that I was having when the new iPhone comes out, like, is it going to be more expensive this year? You know, because I don't really want to, since I'm getting the Pro Max model, I didn't really want to spend any more money on it, you know, and I feel like there's a possibility that it could go up. So that's a good sign from Apple that they're keeping the price the same. And they pointed that out, that they were keeping the price the same. So I hope they continue to do that, because I think that they're all priced really well, and I think Apple makes a good point on that. So,
and
if Apple's listening, I hope they keep the prices the same.
I think they have to be able to, right? Well, they've got their Apple Silicon, so they can control the production of that. They have basically the same design style now across almost all of their products, so all of that tooling and consistency will help them. They're probably spending more money than we might expect on getting the reusable, renewable materials for like their components, their rare earth metals and stuff. That's probably more expensive than just the raw, unremanufactured stuff. And then if they keep Tetrising M1s together, then they just have batch orders of all of these things, and they'll make their return that way.
Yeah, and you know, Apple announcing the new M1 Ultra, I think is just I think they honestly blew it away with the Max, but I would actually really hate to be in Intel's shoes over there right now after they release the Ultra, because the Ultra is a
powerhouse of a device.
I couldn't conceive of how powerful it is. Like, I have no frame of reference for a consumer device that powerful at all.
When they said that they had taken the M1 Max one step further. I mean, we all talked when they talked about the M1 Pro, when they first released the M1 Pro.
Yeah.
And we were on Discord and we were talking about how blown away we were for the performance. And then, like, the next thing on the keynote, they're like, M1 Max. And we're like, this is even more mind-blowing. And yeah, when they're like, we've done one step further in the M1 family, I'm like, how is it even better than the M1 Max?
And then they lead off by being like, it's really difficult to do something beyond that for developers, because once you start getting past this threshold, it becomes really difficult. If you have two processing cores, it messes with how the apps like understand how they need to process things. And I was like, oh, okay.
We can't connect two processors together like that because it starts messing with latency, and then the whole app needs to be redeveloped to work with the two different processors. Like, but we've done it, and they don't have to redo their apps. I'm just like, whoa.
And here's the thing. This is what innovation is all about, and this is what I love about Apple, because when they really push the limits to it, this is what they get. And I've been super impressed with the M1 chip. I can't even, like, everybody thinks it's going to be the M2. Like, everybody thought, oh, we're going to see the M2 this week, you know? But the M1 Ultra with 20 cores, 64 GPU, and then 128 gigabytes of unified memory, like,
mm-hmm.
Like, and like you said, like, putting two chips together and not having to redesign apps, not having to do it, making it work perfectly. This is what Apple is all about. And I would have loved to have sat in the room at Intel where all the people were watching and going,
oh, I don't know. Gosh, it's so good.
Like, you know, it pushes it to the limit, you know, and it's amazing.
And it's really important because Apple, with the iPad Air, we were talking about how they were focusing on productivity. Apple in general, basically, owns the creative market. All of the creative apps run so natively with Apple. It's basically like first party support. So they've been supporting creatives this whole time.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Just something like the M1 Ultra will give any kind of designer or coder or filmmaker or something like the ultimate all-in-one package in the Apple ecosystem.
Yeah. And you have to sit there and think of what is Intel doing right now. Like, I mean, if anything, they should be scared about Apple switching away from the Thunderbolt ports, because that's about all they have left on the Mac right now is Thunderbolt.
They haven't tweeted since before the Apple event. I'm just going to throw that out there.
I don't know. I mean,
personally, Intel's been on a downward spiral since, I would say, back when AMD announced Ryzen is when I would say Intel just started going downhill, because all they had were i5s and i7s for a long time until they came out with the i9. But even then, the performance of the i9.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, and AMD has just been killing it with their processors, and now Apple is just coming out with their own processors. I don't know what Intel is planning on doing next, because they're kind of stuck right now between these.
Well,
AMD's taking over PC market, and obviously Apple's Apple. So
filing for bankruptcy, that's what they're doing.
And it'll be interesting to see, like, what Apple does, and if they're working on their own port, type that's compatible with, because USB Thunderbolt ports and USB-C ports are compatible, you know, so you can do it. But what if they come up with what if they get rid of Thunderbolt ports? Then there's going to be nothing left of Intel inside the Macs, you know? And like, you know, Apple and Intel have had a long relationship for a long time. You know, I thought for a while that Apple might try and buy Intel, you know, you know, but
that would be interesting.
Turns out they don't need them.
They don't need them. They don't. Maybe, who knows? Maybe Apple went to Intel and said, I'll give you, you know, so-and-so money for the entire company today. And they said, nope. And then, you know, Apple said, okay, I'm going to crush you guys. And then
they took them to a basement
and crushed them.
They took them to a basement. They said, this is a competitor. And if you don't let us buy you, this goes live tomorrow.
No, sounds like something Mark Zuckerberg did.
Snapchat. No, like, but it, you know, you have to wonder what's going to happen here because, you know, like, I mean, you don't think that Apple can do it again and they crushed it. Like, you know,
I'm astonished. Hmm. So,
we're running.
Go
ahead.
I was going to say, we are running out of time. It's 9:22. So then I guess that ties in with the two product releases that incorporate the M1 Ultra, which was the Mac Studio and the Studio Display.
I have to say flat out, and I tried to say this in the Discord, but Discord was down earlier. I feel sorry for everybody who went out and bought a Mac Pro. And spent all that money on that giant thing, and then they're sitting here tooting how the Mac Studio, which is like the size of two Mac Minis, can blow away that Mac Pro that they just did. And then they go at the end, but don't worry, we have one more device that we need to do, but we'll save that for another day. I'm like, I mean, you just. Like, people just went out and spent, you know, $1,000 for the wheels to that Mac Pro.
I mean, it's still fair to say that the Mac Pro is still a beast. I mean, it's not as big a beast as the Mac Studio.
But you talk about the Mac Studio. But yeah, I'd be pissed off. I would be super pissed off, you know? I was like, I just spent all that money on a Mac Pro.
Because it was, what, $4,000 or $5,000 for the Mac chip. Pro?
Yeah, that's using an Intel chip, and then you bring out the M1 Ultra with this beast of a computer that's the size of a
and like half the price.
Mac. Yeah. Like, and does it require wheels to roll it around on the floor?
You can pick it up and physically move
it. Put
it
on your desk. You can put it on your desk.
You could get a wheeling desk for literally half the price of wheels. For your Mac, and then you could wheel your entire desk with the Mac on it all the way across the room.
I was waiting for them to say that they were going to bring out wheels for the Mac that you could put on the Mac Mini and you could roll it around on your desk.
I thought it was awesome when they said that the Mac Studio could support four monitors and a 5 and a 4K television.
That was
five displays.
Yeah.
Five displays. Yeah. I can't imagine what I would ever need to do five displays for, but you know what? If I ever bought myself a Mac Studio, I'm getting five flipping displays. Just because I could. Just because I could.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
If we ever get our studio space, it's obviously just what we need.
Oh, I mean, clearly.
Yeah. Well, and if you look at, what is it? I can't think of it. But anyways, it's just a powerhouse of a Mac Mini combined together, two of them. I found it blown away. You know, I was like, holy shit! Like, I thought the Mac Studio was gonna be like an entry level thing, but like, I mean, even with the M1 Max, it's like, you know. It's a beast of a core, you know. And if you compare it to the Mac Pro, which has, an Intel chip in it, the M1 Mac is like 2.7 times faster. Like, you know, it's just, well, I should say it's 2.0.
seven times faster. I think it was by the Mac, the iMac, because they're obviously trying to get people away from that iMac because they're going to discontinue it, or they've already discontinued it. But the iMac Pro, and the 27-inch iMac, you know, and stuff. So they're trying to get people away from that, you know. And it's really made for developers, creators, you know, people that are doing high graphics, you know, and stuff like that. Movie studios, I could see them really using this at, you know, when they do it. I'm sure that they're using this M1 Studio for all their Apple TV Plus content, you know, and editing and stuff, you know, because again, I mean, just blown away.
I thought for sure it was going to cost like over.
Oh, I thought 10 grand. Yeah, I thought 10 grand easily. Like easily. I was like, I'm like, this is going to be like the step up from the Mac Pro. And then you think about it and they're like, nope. It's
so yeah. Mac Pro, like, looking at it right now, it's $6,000, $599.99. The Mac Studio is literally a third of the price of the Mac Pro, and it is leaps and bounds ahead of it in performance.
Like I said, I feel sad for everybody that bought a Mac Pro, and now the Mac Studio is out with this powerhouse.
It's disgusting. You can still buy a Mac Pro right now. And
yeah, I don't know that anybody's gonna be out there. Like, nobody was sitting there like, oh, I'm gonna buy the Mac Pro today. I bet you they got a bunch of Mac Pros sitting in there. They're like, oh, nobody bought a Mac Pro today. We don't need to ship any out.
Do we want to know how much the maximum spec Mac Studio costs?
$4,000.
We're getting $4,000 for like full M1 Ultra plus whatever bells and whistles that they have to throw at it, short of like software.
About yep. $8,000.
$8,000. Yeah.
$8,000. Yep. 125 gigs memory.
Yeah, because it starts with the M1 Ultra at $4,000. Mm. So the M1 Mac at $2,000. So, or the M1 Max at $2,000. So, I mean, I even think that the M1, you know, if I were going to get something that was like this, I would probably just get the Max. I mean, I can't imagine myself using the Ultra.
More than anything you would need is what you would get.
I would just want the Ultra. I would just want the Ultra just to say, I have the M1 Mac Ultra sitting exactly. on my desk. You know, it's like here's the thing too. I was talking to Roy today about getting my phone, and we were talking about the configurations, and I was like, oh, I'm just gonna get the 128, you know. And Roy goes, you can't get ProRes with the 128. And I was like, I totally, like, nobody uses ProRes. Like, it's an Apple thing. Like, unless you're doing,
you shouldn't be locked out of a feature though. That is
exactly it. You spend the money on the device.
So side by side comparison of the Mac Studio with the M1 Ultra versus the Mac Pro, the M1 Ultra one base is $399.99. The Mac Pro is $599.99. You get the M1 Ultra in the Studio. You get a 3.5 gigahertz Intel. In the Mac Pro, you get 20 CPU cores in the M1 Ultra. You get 8 in the Mac Pro. You get 48 GPU cores in the M1 Ultra. You get 24 in the Mac Pro. RAM is 64 gigs in the M1 Ultra versus 32 in the Mac Pro. 1 terabyte of storage in the Studio versus the 512 in the Mac Pro. And I mean, I could go over the ports and stuff, but I mean, that's not nearly as important. The only thing that you do get in the Pro versus the Studio, and this might be, I don't know, where a deal breaker could be, the Mac Pro will come with 8 PCIe slots, Afterburner slot, and 2 SSD slots. So, I mean, there is the modular expansion you can do with the Mac Pro. But I mean, if I was getting one for a Studio or for productivity, hands down, I'd still pick the Studio.
Yeah, I agree. Absolutely. And it would look beautiful on my desk setup.
Look beautiful in a googly office.
Yeah,
would. I will take your old M1 Mac Mini.
Peasants.
Maybe if I decide to give it.
So I got a question for everyone. Maybe a couple questions before we wrap things up. What was everybody's favorite thing about the event?
M1 Ultra.
Everybody wearing the new spring line of watch bands without saying anything about it.
Ooh. Oh yeah. Yeah. Did you, and I tuned this to Roy earlier, but if you watch Tim Cook, he was wearing a blue shirt, and he had the yellow watch band on, which are the Ukraine colors.
Oh, I didn't even notice that. That's amazing.
Nobody noticed that too. I was talking to somebody else and they didn't notice that either. And I'm like, he's like, yeah, he's got one of the new watch bands on. And I go, yeah, did you see the color of his shirt? And I'm like, what? And I'm like, it was the Ukraine colors is what he was trying to match up with. I'm sure of it. That's awesome. So it was really good to see that. You know, I was a little disappointed that they didn't say anything, you know, in support of Ukraine, you know, or anything and condemn the things, but they have pulled and suspended all their products out of there, which, you know, is a good thing as well.
I think actions speak louder than words.
Yeah. And I don't know if any of you guys know, but Spark. Yeah. I don't know if you guys know, but Spark is a mail app. And it's developed out of Ukraine. They have like 200. They have 200 developers or people that work out of Ukraine, and right now they're, So Spark Mail.
They're currently the icon.
That's why the icon. So they pulled their app from Russia too, and won't do any business with Russia. And then also McDonald's pulled out today, as well as Coca-Cola and Starbucks. All shut down their restaurants.
War's over. Let's face it, the Russians aren't going to stand for no Big Macs.
You can't get a Coca-Cola. You can't get a Big Mac. Like, and then Visa, MasterCard doesn't work. Like, Apple Pay doesn't work. Like, I mean, they're in a world of hurt.
It's over.
It's over. God. But anyways, just outstanding. But they're fighting for their country, and so as you can see, we've been rocking the Ukraine colors in our background as well today. So support them and stand with them. So anyways, any last final thoughts?
None from me.
Last
final thought. I enjoyed how paced and slow and methodical all the presenters were, and how fast the infographics went off the screen. You barely had time to digest whatever was going on before it was on to the next bullet point, on to the next release of like information. It was nice.
I like watching Tim Cook on that little stage with like the giant products behind him.
And nobody in the audience.
Yeah, no. Well, I mean, yeah, but like, it's so awesome to see like a giant iMac or a giant, you know, whatever behind him, you know, and just seeing this small person on the screen. And
it's hard
to
not focus on him because he's just
when they did the. Yeah. And when they did the Mac Studio video at the end and the person crawling into the Mac Mini and going all the way around and the guy plugging in the ports and her running and jumping and everything down there. So, yeah. So anyway,
I was very surprised it was only an hour long. I was expecting it to be an hour and a half.
Me too. I was actually really surprised that they cut it off at the hour mark. But I guess that's what you do when you have good recorded video, you know, all time together. So
it was the spring event too.
Yeah, it was a spring event too. Last thing I want to say as we close things out, today is National International Women's Day. Thank you to all the national and powerful women out there that are helping keep our great country and countries alive out there. So
very much appreciate it.
Yes. All right. We'll end it there.
Okay.
Oh, by the way, I have to give one update. I'm at 19% now. I went from 13 to 19. So it's not frozen. I don't know what's wrong with it.
19 minutes left?
19 minutes, yeah.
You went backwards?
I went from 13 before. It went back up. It went back up to like 16 and then 18, and now it's at 19. So
you can't rush perfection.
It's getting there.
Yeah. That's true.
It's getting there. I'll keep you updated on Twitter.
Please do, and stay up for as long as it takes.
I'll be texting Tim at 2 in the morning, saying with beer pong.
Some beer
set
tongs.
Your alarm. Say your alarm, Tim. Oh my
God. I'm expecting your invite.
All right. Well, we want to give a big thank you to everyone here for joining us live on this episode of the Gooply Cast. And a big thanks to you if you're listening to us as a podcast. Your support is incredibly encouraging, and we appreciate you spending some of your valuable time with us. Look forward to our replays on YouTube and the podcast version of our episodes on all of your favorite podcasting apps, including iHeartRadio. Follow us on Twitter and like us on Facebook, so that way you'll get notified when we go live with the show. You can join in, and also for when we share new tech-related content. I've been your host, Matt Carter. For Matt, Roy, Tim, and Joseph, we appreciate you so much for watching and listening. We'll catch you next time on the Gooply Cast.
Thanks for listening to the Gooply Cast. Don't forget to subscribe and rate our podcast. Visit us on social media at Gooply. And remember, you can stream the Gooply Cast on your favorite podcasting app or Gooply.com.